morning, church, and Merry Christmas to you all as we come in this Christmas season. That each one of you are celebrating this time of year, and I know that isn't always easy because of brokenness of family and other things that are going on. It can be sometimes difficult to celebrate Christmas. In fact, I know there are people that that don't get even Christmas trees, and so I don't want to belabor it, but I also want people who, if you're listening to this this devotion, that I want you to know that I'm sensitive to that, and I'm not trying to just deny the reality. But I think that as we think about Christmas time, we think about the tree that usually represents Christmas for us, and that's the evergreen tree. And in the importance of the fact that it's evergreen, that it continues to be green. Someone tells us that if we trust in the Lord, that we'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, and that our leaves will be always green, and that even in the heat, they will not wither. I think Jeremiah 2 says that he who trusts in man, basically it will fall to pieces, but those who put their trust in the Lord will be like, well, let me look at that. I think that's worthy of reading. It is the fact that it'll always be green and always be alive. It says that blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by waters that sends its roots out by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries of the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I love that. And I love that picture. There's something that I've been really kind of learning more about recently, and that is the fact that it is really the effect of the temporal versus the effect of the eternal. We in the Western world especially, and in a world that has so much, we so focus on the materialistic, on the physical world. But the detriment of that is the fact that we focus on there's a situation that's called the consequences and the consequence and that which happens to us, the circumstances that happen to us. There we go. The circumstances that happen to us and the consequences of the way that we live in response to those circumstances. And I've been learning that most people live like the circumstances are 98% of their life, and the consequences are 2%. And what do I mean by that? I mean that what happens to us in this physical world overwhelms and leads our lives more than it should. And I believe the opposite of that is what God wants us to really live out, that circumstances are 2% and consequences are 98%. Now, bear with me a minute. So a child is brought up in an abusive home. And that's a horrible circumstance. But then what happens is when they live out that it's 98% of their life, that means that their whole identity and their whole reality is lived off from those circumstances. And the decisions they make in their life continue to perpetuate the abuse that happened in their life. But if they live as though circumstance are 2% of their life and consequences are 98% of their life, then what happens is they still understand that the abuse is horrible, but they then take more of a look at the consequences, meaning the decisions they make in their life, and what they do in response to that. And this is where the evergreen really comes into play here. If God is an eternal God, in fact, Psalm 48:14 says this, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. And so if it's true that he is a eternal God and that he goes on forever, then that means that he has got the strength and the power to overcome the temporal and bring us into the realm of the internal, which means instead of being controlled by the circumstance of our life, we can be controlled through our decisions by the eternal reality of God. And that even though the 2% is horrible, and we don't take away from that, we don't have to make decisions based on that. In a strange way, I was reminded of that recently. 30 plus years ago, I had a conversation with a man in a campground. And we had some infants together. I grew up with his wife. She was older than me, and so we weren't in each other's realm, but we kind of saw each other and kind of recognized each other. And so when we saw each other camping, we recognized each other, and he's about 5 years older than me. And so we had a nice conversation. But what I've learned actually in this last week was that conversation touched his life so much that he knew God was saying that we needed to talk more. Well, about 28 years go by, and God brings him and I together again. And that same thought is in his mind. We need to talk. And so we talked then a little bit, and I think it was brought up that we should get together sometime, and it just did not happen. Well, about 3 months ago, we met again, and this time he took my number. And so anyways, but still, he's still kind of pushing back. He said to me, he said, I hesitated because I knew that you were a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. And so he says, I knew that our conversation would move in a direction where there'd be change. And so I don't know any of this. This is brand new to me. Well, this week we met for the first time and we sat for 4 hours and talked, and we could have talked longer. It was such a God connection, but it's this forever God that does not let you go. And, Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Old Testament tells us that God says, I do not change so that you are not destroyed. And there hits on the heart of what this devotion is about. If you and I can believe in a God who is everlasting, and if we can look at the Christmas tree, this Christmas, as a gift to us in respect to the fact that our God is eternal, he is faithful, His love does not fail. And listen to me, his love does not change. Then we can approach this Christmas not controlled by the 2% of our circumstances, but allowing our decisions to be based off of our relationship with God and moving us into a direction that gives him glory and honor. 1 Peter says this in the fourth chapter. It says this, and I like this. It says the end of all things is near. So the end of the temporal is near, okay? The end of your circumstances and the effect of your circumstances is near. So as it says, therefore, be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. And so foundational. It says this, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And so you're offering your heart, you're first staying alert and sober. What I like about that in regards to circumstances is that if we let the circumstances of the temporal control us, then our mind becomes spinning and it becomes something that we cannot stay focused on things because we're so caught up in the drama of circumstances. And it says, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And so just like what Christmas represents, God so loved the world that he sent his own son, right? And that's what Christmas is about. It's about love. And so it's that love that instead of being controlled by the temporal, you're controlled by an eternal love that then pours out through you to other people. And we so need that. It says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And so no longer caught in the drama of the temporal, your life becomes an offering to the Lord, but an offering to others. And so you become just joyful in the realization that your life is not your own and it is a gift to be given away. Each of you should use whatever gifts you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God, of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So then all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And listen to this. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You see how Peter's drawing us to the eternal. He's drawing us to the fact that in a life that is not controlled by the temporal circumstances, but are controlled by the eternal consequence of following God, it is a forever thing. And so as you keep your mind set on him, as you learn to love each other, as you learn to allow your life to be used and to give to others, you then are living in the consequence of the eternal. And so I don't know if that makes sense to you all, but it's making sense to me. And so Revelation says it this way about the eternal. It says in the first chapter, it says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. That is our God. He is, he always has been. He had no start. He was, meaning the past and the present. He is present in it all. And is the one who is to come. Jesus is coming again. And he truly will be the one riding on the white horse, the conqueror of all of the nations. There will be no kingdom that will stand against his kingdom. And his kingdom is a forever kingdom, as Daniel even spoke. And then it says this in that same chapter, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And so this Christmas time, I pray that Maybe you look at the evergreen tree a little differently. Maybe you look at and ask yourself the question, am I allowing my circumstances of this world, the temporal circumstances, control my life? Or this Christmas, can I surrender to the eternal consequence and that my life becomes a life that is sober-minded, that is full of love, and that I use my gifts in giving glory and honor to the one who is, who was, and forever will be. I pray that this Christmas, that'll be you and that'll be me. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, you are the great and true God. We come before you and you alone. We so need you. We desire to see more of you and to be filled more with you and less of us. The temporal keeps trying to beg us that it would control us. And we say in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit that lives within us, directed by the Father who is walking before us, showing us the way, that we will live in the eternal, beautiful consequence of your presence. And in doing so, our lives are yours, surrendered completely. And so, Lord, each day is given to you as a praise offering. We love you and we trust you. In the precious name of Jesus.